Electrolyte water.
Electrolyte water. It's nothing better. I didn't even know what electrolytes in water mean.
I assume that electrolytes look kind of like Nerds, the candy. Like they're just like these little goobery things.
I don't think that's right.
Arms.
I don't think that's right.
Whatever.
I think... Whatever, it's right to me. All right, people. Welcome to episode number 9 of Podcast for Good. We've almost reached number 10. I'm pretty... I mean, that's simple numbers.
Yeah, what comes after 9?
Yes, I feel like 10's a benchmark.
It is.
For people. So sure. We're almost there.
Well, at episode 13, we're halfway through the season.
I wonder if they'll keep us on.
Please don't fire us.
Yes. So, my name is Philip Kerrigan. I'm the program manager of the CFD. And as always...
I'm Heather Lucas. I'm the fiscal and policy coordinator for the CFD.
That's right. You are.
I know. I'm so happy.
So, we are rolling out this 9th episode of podcast, which will go around animal rescue services. And this is not kind of what I originally thought when I first saw that this was our theme. I originally thought, you know, rescue dogs. But this is actually rescuing animals from tough situations.
Yeah, not like dogs going out and rescuing people. Is that what you thought?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So we've done a podcast that talked about therapy animals, and I'm sure in the future we'll do a podcast that has to do with rescue animals or service animals. It's a real big passion for a lot of folks who get through the CFD. But this one in particular is about animals needing to be rescued.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and the services that do that. So we're going to be talking with a lady named Darcy Eggman. She's, among other things, she's the founder of Foreclosure Pets. She is basically in charge of everything with Foreclosure Pets. And we're going to be talking to her about what they do for the community, how they help animals who, like crazy, have been abandoned by people whose homes got foreclosed upon.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting charity. It'll be really fun to talk to her. We just wrapped up a couple of different events. Our next podcast will be kind of a special, like, combo package of, like, a couple of charities that were at those events. So that'll be fun for us, too.
Yeah.
But for today, let's talk about animal services, Heather. So, do you have any sort of stats or stuff like that about this sort of industry or sort of pets in general?
I do. So I got some information from the ASPCA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
First of all, like, there are a gajillion animal rescue
it's
charities.
It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Yeah.
And there are a lot in the CFD. As I was doing some research, I was going through and I was like, they're in our program. Mm-hmm. They're in our program. Oh, look, they're in our program. So it's cool that we have so many charities where, like, that's what they do.
It's also one of those rare sectors that, like, even though a ton of people give to it.
Yeah.
I bet you if you took a look at our giving percentage and you narrowed down how many people actually give to the animals and environment category, it'd be a fairly sizable chunk of our actual giving.
I think so.
But the one that I always am so struck by is when there's a natural disaster or a wildfire.
Yeah.
Having those charities on the ground is actually pretty important in those areas, because those animals otherwise who have been domesticated, so they would not survive in the wild. When a family's leaving a wildfire situation or there's a hurricane or anything like that, those families are leaving and they're taking their prized possessions with them. And if the animal or the pet is not in that conversation, they're out on their own.
Well, also, like, if you are, say, at work and a wildfire comes and destroys your home, your animals are at home.
Yeah.
So you don't have the ability to go back and get them.
Yeah.
So, like, there has to be somebody there who can.
Yeah.
But I would think that, you know, of all the things, like, if I had to go and get my animals out of the house in an emergency situation.
Yes.
Like, I have a pet carrier,
mm-hmm.
and it is really meant to hold, like, one of the cats at a time.
Right.
But, like, if I had to shove all four of them in there, it would not be cool.
Right.
Like, they would hate life.
Right.
They would hate life anyway because loud noises.
Yes.
But, like, I'm not prepared to just, like, take all of them and go
somewhere.
Right? And then, like, okay, where am I going to stay, you know?
It's It's crazy.
Like, nobody knows what's going to happen or how you deal with it.
Right, and I think that comes with the foreclosure pets thing.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, these people are going through a natural... Well, it's not even a natural disaster. It is a... It's a disaster of a certain kind.
Yeah.
And they have to make some tough choices.
Uh-huh. And it did reach epic proportions with that recession there.
It did.
So.
It did. So, anyway, let's go over some facts about animals.
So, the ASPCA says that there are about 6.5 million companion animals that enter into shelters every year. Okay. So, of course, that can range from anything like, say, a house being foreclosed and the animals get left behind, mm-hmm. or animals who are just on the streets and somebody sees them is just like, oh, you are homeless, let's take you and put you in a shelter.
Yes. Or a mini horse, which, by the way, is only one of two animals that are allowed.
I was wondering why you were smiling like that. Okay. Yeah, mini horse is a therapy animal in Washington State.
As we learned in podcast number 5,
hey.
It's one of the only service animals allowed in a restaurant.
Dog, mini horse,
yeah.
Go. So in this country, there's an estimate that the number of dogs and cats that enter shelters has declined mm-hmm. from 7.2 million in 2011 to about 3.9 million.
Wow.
So it's been cut pretty much in half, which is good.
Yeah.
But about 1.5 million animals are euthanized each year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So part of that has to do with space, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there is a space issue. You can't just take animals in and not mm-hmm. send animals back out into homes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, when you come down to it, the animals that do get euthanized more often are the ones who have illnesses.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the most weak of society in this particular species.
Mm-hmm.
They are...
Yeah. And I also heard that, like, something like Rottweilers end up being some of the highest breeds of dogs. I could be wrong.
I mean, it would make sense for the dogs that are more controversial. Mm-hmm. So you've got Rottweilers, you've got Pitbulls.
Yes.
I would imagine that Pitbulls are probably more of a likely dog to be euthanized than, say, Beagles, you know.
Or because Poodles. Who's really taking those, if those pets are left or sent out of even a tougher situation, who's really going to take that mature Pitbull or Rottweiler in with the reputation that particular breed
exactly,
has.
Yeah, because I think some people would think this is a dog that could bite me at any time mm-hmm. if it's uncomfortable in a situation.
Exactly right. You don't have any ability to know where it came from. It would seem like it would be a tough sell, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And that for pet ownership in the United States, about 78 million dogs and 85.8 million cats are owned in the United States. So about 44% of all households have a dog, 35% of all households have a cat.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
How about stats about animals in Washington State? Do we have anything cool about that?
No.
Okay. That's all
right. Yeah, that was something too. Like another thing where finding information about specific Washington State animals.
Not so good.
Yeah, no. It was very much like national statistics.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were referring to a study, or survey done by the ASPCA.
Got it.
So it's like they kind of keep referring back to this one particular organization as like the be-all for...
Sounds like it. They have definitely done some pretty good research, the ASPCA.
So for DoSomething.org has had some stats on animals.
Okay.
Homeless animals outnumber homeless people 5-1.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, and like if you walk around, I mean, from where I am day to day, like I don't think I see that many animals, but now like
not
after
a 5-1 ratio.
Yeah, but now after reading that stat, I'm like, I wonder.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that it'll be something I'll see more often.
Right.
25% of dogs that enter local shelters are purebred.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Holy cow. That's like, 1 in 5.
Yeah. And, like, I have had friends who have gone through, like, I'm going to breed dogs and they're purebred dogs kind of thing. Or I will only get a dog if it is a purebred dog. Okay, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That goes into either breeding a dog or buying that particular dog.
Right.
So to know that it happens to any dog.
I wonder what the main reasoning for that sort of stuff is. Is it just that it was more work than you thought it would be? Is it that circumstances hit you in a certain way?
Yeah, how does
that
work
out? About,
what
is it about each of these animals that somebody starts with the notion of I'm going to take it in and care for it, and like it's going to be a member of the family too? Like, it's an expendable thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's interesting.
Yeah, I do wonder. I imagine that finances would probably be a big one for that.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, there are a lot of no-kill shelters. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of no-kill shelters in our program. Mm-hmm. But there was an article that came out about the big three reasons why animal shelters euthanize pets. Mm-hmm. And they are illness, aggression, and overpopulation. Mm. So if the animal's sick, well, you know, mm-hmm. like we talked about a little mm-hmm. bit, if the animal's aggressive,
mm-hmm. yep.
and naturally, like, you're going to have, say, I'd say, I don't know about cats. I mean, cats are kind of jerks all the time. But like dogs, you know, if a dog is yeah. aggressive,
yeah.
it kind of like shuts down the fact that sure. anybody should want that dog.
Yeah.
Like, they're just done. And then overpopulation. So two sure. of those are on the dog, and one of those is on the shelter.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that reminds me of, like, I don't know why it reminds me. This other podcast I listen to called The Starters. They do NBA stuff.
Okay.
And they always talk about basketball players mm-hmm. in terms of, are they a cat or are they a dog?
Really?
Yes. So, like, when Kevin Durant was okay. on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and yeah. everybody liked him because he was a good guy.
Sure.
You know, like, you know, he's the clown that he maybe is today. Shout out to Kevin Durant. Come on the show at any time. when he was playing there, everyone said Kevin Durant's like the dog, like he's like loving and everybody loves him, and Russell Westbrook was the cat, like really okay. aloof and standoffish and don't ask me questions.
Okay.
And so I always think about, like, who would be like in you people in your life, who would be the cat and who would be the dog? Like your brother, for example, is he a cat or a dog?
I'd say one of my brothers is more of a dog. The other one, he's kind of on the fence. He could be both a dog or a cat.
If you were to take a look at the CFD team, who's a cat and who's a dog?
You're a dog. You are. You are absolutely a dog. Yeah. I know I'm a cat.
You're definitely a cat.
I would say that, like, Dawn and Jerrica, I think, kind of are on the fence. Like, there are moments mm-hmm. where they are in dog yeah. world, and there are moments yeah. when they're in cat world.
Yeah. I feel like if you were to lean one direction or the other, we'd have Jerrica as a dog.
Yeah.
But she definitely could be like an aloof cat from time to time.
She can be an aloof cat.
And then I think Dawn would be a cat, but only because of her disposition. She's yeah. just quiet, and she, you know, yeah. she likes to be in the background.
Yeah.
She's not actually like a cat. You know
no,
I mean?
No.
Like yeah. super, you know, yeah. get away from me.
Yeah. Like, I feel I'm more of a cat, and that Jerrica would have moments where she's cat. But
I think it's pretty yeah. clear that you and I, every time we walk into a room, it's fairly clear that there's a dog and a cat walking into it.
I think so.
I yeah. think there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, hey, guys, let's do something. Let's be fun.
And I'm like, I'm not impressed by anything.
No, you impress me. You work hard.
Yeah, do it. Waiting.
Yeah, so I feel like we nailed that pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
All right, so hit me with the question of the podcast.
All right, so you have watched plenty of TV.
I have.
Yeah. And yes. we have talked about specifically the ASPCA.
Yes.
So those commercials, mm-hmm. the ASPCA commercials come on with abused animals and frightened animals. And then that Sarah McLachlan yes. song starts playing.
Yes. Arms of an Angel or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about Sarah McLachlan?
Well, I would tell you, I think she's definitely a cat. I don't think she's a dog.
She is Canadian, so she's got that dog quality.
Yeah, yeah, but I think she's like a nice cat.
I think, yeah, nice yeah, cat, yeah.
Like a nice cat. Yeah. She's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Okay, so full disclosure.
Go. Did you go to Lilith Fair?
I did. I was dating this girl. isn't that how every straight man's Lilith Fair experience
yeah,
starts?
So I was dating this girl. Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to go to Lilith Fair. I think it was like 2009.
Okay.
And of course, it was like 2002.
Yeah, I was going to say way Lilith back. Fair.
I was in college.
Okay.
And I was really super
into her. It was big then.
I was super into her, and I really wanted her to like me.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I got tickets to Lilith Fair, and would you like to go? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's awesome. Absolutely. Wow. I mean, I'm super progressive.
Did you knew what it was at the time?
I knew what it was. And, you know, I knew what the reputation was. It was where, like ladies went.
Lots of ladies,
right? Yeah. And so we went out to the Gorge, and I watched, I believe it was...
Ani DiFranco?
Yeah, of course. She's in, like, everything.
Indigo Girls? Right?
And then what's the one... Who was the one lady... Like, she did a song about cowboys or whatever.
Oh, Paula Cole. Gotcha.
Paula Cole. Yep. So she was like the headliner.
Oh, yeah.
Along with Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, my God.
And like, she didn't, to me anyway, she didn't like rock the house. Sure. You know what I'm saying? That's not exactly like Sarah McLachlan's music.
Yeah.
It was an experience.
Okay.
It was an experience.
Would you have ever done it again?
I have never done it again.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm all that big a fan of that genre of music.
Sure.
Not the whole like, I'm not a fan of the like, I don't know. It's a lot more piano based. It's really like soothier and that sort of thing. I need my music to be a little bit more energetic.
Yeah, I dig a bass line. I dig drums. So I'm feeling you there. Like I went through a phase around like I'd say probably a little before 2002.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was very much into that kind of music.
Yeah.
So you know we'd be driving somewhere in her car and that would be on the radio and she'd pop in the CD because naturally like
that's not driving music by the way.
No,
there's
nothing
about Sarah McLachlan that's driving music. It's not like I'm driving. Like any friend I've ever had has been like, guys, we should pop in the City of Angels soundtrack.
It's true. Yeah, no,
like,
no.
Everybody would look and be like, dude, what?
That's music that you would definitely calm down to, or like you would be in the bathtub surrounded by candles with wine, kind of a thing.
Absolutely.
Or anywhere with candles and wine and that kind of music. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's the candles and wine music. Actually, that's absolutely a whole genre we should come up with.
Oh, candles and wine.
Candles and wine music.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we should come up with our top like five
candles and wine music.
Yeah, because I mean they're out there. They're
it's so true. It's so true.
Yeah,
and there's lots of one-hit wonders when it comes to candles and wine music.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like Paula Cole is one.
Oh, I think so. If she wasn't like close to being like a two-hit wonder, I mean.
So we'll say this about the McLachlan thing.
Yeah.
And that particular, because it's one of the most famous charity commercials
of
all time. I think it's right up there with the old school one back in the day where it was like a small child in Africa. And who was the lady who would always...
Sally Struthers.
Sally Struthers. Boom. She'd always walk in front of this poor kid.
Uh-huh.
Like sitting there. She'd be like, you know, for just this amount of dollars, you can help this young man right here.
And you're
this
like, one right why here. Don't you help him, Sally?
I always want to be like, turn around like, Sally, maybe you could just turn. And help him.
Do you have food in your pocket?
Right now.
How about some money? I don't know if that'll help. Maybe give him a sweater.
I remember those. But those were always famous commercials,
exactly.
Right? Like a young African boy and Sally Struthers.
And then there was the guy who was kind of grandfatherly who took over that position where he was like grandfather with a beard. And he's like, this is Aniko and she is sad. Yeah. And you're like, why don't you make her happy? Like,
I know. Just make her happy.
Give her some shoes.
All right, let's do this. Ready? Okay, so we obviously know that I have a pod. I have a question of the pod for you.
Oh, snap.
Okay. Give me your top five memorable emotional commercials. Because Sarah McLachlan's right up there, right? That's one of the most remembered emotional commercials.
Because I am not a fan of seeing terrible things to animals.
Sure.
I hear that song, turn the commercial.
Do you really?
Every single time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sorry, Sarah.
So you you do not like that commercial?
Like, I don't dig seeing. I know terrible things happen to animals. Terrible things happen to people. I know that. And sometimes it takes a reminder. People need that.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm good with that particular commercial.
Because that one looped.
Forever.
And
there are
station.
certain stations that still, like every single commercial break, you get that commercial.
Do you remember
I just want to watch The Hobbit. Please stop.
Do you remember? So what I distinctly remember that commercial is like the first two or three times it came on, I was like, even me, who's not an animal guy, was like, dang.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. And then it got to like number 8 or 9 or the 10th time I saw it, and I was like, you know, I'm kind of over it now.
Yeah, kind of good.
Right?
Thanks.
Like, it's just too heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
So I would say that as far as commercials go and impacting me emotionally, it's usually to do with the song that they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I find humor in it.
Sure.
Like, now, like...
Yeah, forget top five. Best commercial of all time. What's your favorite commercial?
Dude, I love Terry Crews with the Old Spice commercials.
Yeah.
anytime those come on. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen Tim and Eric. Awesome show, great job. But they directed and kind of did these commercials, and it's kind of based off of their show.
Oh, okay.
So there's, like... elements of the ridiculous to it.
Yeah.
You know, like he's double sun power and building kicks, explosions. Right. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's
but
pretty ridiculous.
I dig it.
That's pretty
ridiculous. But yeah, I would say that if I'm affected by a commercial, it's got to do something that makes me laugh or has to do with the music. Because right now, I watch a commercial and I'm like, there are so many things that common sense tells me that I would never do in this situation. Why are these people doing this in this commercial? I don't even know what you're selling anymore. But the common sense, no, out the window.
Yeah. I feel you there.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and now transition smoothly into Darcy Eggman, founder slash president slash secretary slash treasurer of Foreclosure Pets. So here is Darcy. Take it away. All right, so we're here with Darcy Eggman. She's the founder slash executive slash treasurer slash all things related to Foreclosure Pets. Darcy, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming and being a part of the podcast.
Well, thank you guys very much. And I want to thank the Secretary of State's office as well, because working with Combined Fund Drive is excellent.
Awesome.
I think it's a great opportunity for both charities and the state employees. So
we're so
I appreciate
glad to hear
it very much.
Yeah. We love interacting with all you guys. It's so much fun to get to know the charities and then kind of spread their, you know, spread their word to everybody else. So you are from Foreclosure Pets, right? And where is that located exactly?
Olympia.
Oh, it's right
here.
Olympia.
I'm on Johnson Point. I have a very small shelter there. But I also have a rescue that helps me, a foster, I should say, in Federal Way.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about the history of Foreclosure Pets? Because you're the founder, so what really led you to start the organization and kind of where were you going with it?
Well, so Foreclosure Pets really helps two groups of people. We help animals and the people who have them. We've been a recognized 501c3 since 2010 in October, when I'm a real estate agent here, and there was a foreclosure, and I helped another agent. There were over 40 cats left at that foreclosure.
Wow.
So that's how we started, because we were not able to obviously take those animals to animal services.
Yeah.
So all these cats were left behind, and we tried to find homes for some of them, and that was before I was rescuing, and I ended up with over 20. I had a shed
house,
or next to my house, not in my house.
Yeah.
Next to my house, and so I put the cats in there, and there were several sick ones, and we got them all vetted, and then as they got well, we got them spayed and neutered and found homes.
Yeah.
And it became apparent after that that there was a huge need, because in 2010, you know, that was a bad time for a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what people were doing. They were just, and they still do, unfortunately. They just abandon the animals.
Okay. And is that really what caused you to get into it? You looked at the situation and were like, this can't keep happening, because where do these animals go if they're not rescued?
That's how I started, because it took me a couple of years to get all those animals vetted and help them find homes. And so that's how I started it.
Yeah.
So now we answer calls from all kinds of people reporting abandoned animals, a lot of them from the real estate community, as well as people who need to rehome their pets primarily due to an economic situation, hardship. So currently, like I said, there's two of us who take the animals. We take them to a vet. We get them tested and find out if there's any medical issues that we need to know about, get them meds. Get them tested for the feline leukemia and FIV, and then we take them either to my shelter or help find a foster for them. Once they become healthy, spay and neuter. Everybody gets spayed and neutered before we get them adopted, and then you know, it's up to us to help them find good homes for that.
Excellent.
So real estate is something that you still currently do, correct?
Yep.
So would you say that, like, by being a real estate agent, like, this is your primary job, but Foreclosure Pets, like, has this kind of taken over and been, like, more of your job now?
Well, real estate agent is my source of income.
Sure.
So I have to, that's my primary job. I do, you know, the running the Foreclosure Pets takes every second outside of that.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's definitely a huge part of my life and my focus.
Excellent.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about, like, 2010 being a hard time for people. So, like, it's been 9 years since the 2008 recession really started. So do you think that now, 9 years later, like, there are fewer animals in these situations with foreclosed homes than there were before?
Yes. There are fewer foreclosures. So that helps. There are still people that have the hardship, economic hardship from, you know, because life just happens to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so we're still reaching out to those folks. We also help sometimes people who the main person has passed away.
Sure.
And the animal is abandoned in the home. I also do a lot of animals that are dumped, cats.
Right.
Particularly, that are pregnant.
Okay.
So I have, my shelter is not cages. There's four rooms, and I have mommy and me rooms.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
So I can have the mom and the kittens there until they're ready to be adopted.
Right.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. Do you feel like, so you go into these homes, and in your first experience, I'm assuming, kind of went a little bit like you saw these 40 cats, and you decided to take in 20. When you take them in, you clearly, I mean, it's hard not to. You would obviously develop a relationship with these animals. I mean, do you find that it's hard to pass them along to somebody else? It's almost like adopting a kid, really.
Well, I'm a foster mom.
Yeah.
What you look at it is that, yes, you get attached because you love them, and there are times when you're up at, you know, every 2 hours bottle feeding babies who don't have the mom, and you invest a lot into them. But for me, if I don't get them adopted to new homes, I don't have room for new ones to come in, and there's always a need. So, yes, I help satisfy that caring need by finding good homes, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I do my best.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's hard. You know, I love you.
I know.
You know, so I always put them in the carrier and stuff, and I talk to the people and probably ask too many questions about how they're going to take care of them.
Right.
But, you know, part of it's my responsibility to make sure they understand their responsibility to this cat that's going to be in their care for the rest of the cat's life, not until they get bored with it. You know? So it's hard, but it's really important that I keep getting cats adopted. There's a lot of them out there.
Do you ever get any updates from the homes about how the cats and...
I do.
Yeah.
And I encourage it. I encourage them to put them on our Facebook page. I encourage them to... Most of them text me and stuff, and I'll check in with them on occasion. But, no, I love updates.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, it's a success story then, right?
We do. Yeah, absolutely. And we call them happy tales.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome. If you're a donor who qualifies for retirement, we have a change in policy that may affect you. Starting on October 1st, 2017, the CFD is adopting a new policy that automatically continues any recurring payroll contributions current state employees may have into their retirement. Retiring donors will be able to cancel, add, or modify any donations before their separation date or any time during their retirement through the CFD online system or even by contacting the state CFD office and making a request with one of our staff members. If you have any questions about this new policy, we urge you to please contact the state CFD office at 360-902-4162 or email us anytime at cfd@sos.wa.gov. Again, this change is for donors who are qualifying for retirement. We really appreciate your patience in this matter, and hopefully you'll continue giving through us. Thanks a lot.
We actually partner with a group called Maddie's Fund and also the Million Cat Challenge and PASS, which is the Positive Alternative to Shelter Surrender. Uh-huh. I did an internship in Austin working with that, because the goal of the Million Cat Challenge is to find ways to overcome barriers to adoption. Mm-hmm. There have been all kinds of studies and issues that previously were thought of as prohibitive, which can often be worked out to get more animals adopted into homes. You know, some rescues won't adopt to somebody in an apartment or to this person, or, you know, checking their record or doing home visits. And that's good to do those things, but to make them barriers, you want to get the cats adopted or the dog, you know, the animals.
Right.
And just because somebody lives in an apartment doesn't make them a bad human.
Yeah, right. That's a weird barrier.
Right. Yeah,
so, one of the things being a rescue is with an apartment, you want to make sure they've paid the deposit, because you'll get that call. My landlord just found out I have a cat and I have to return it.
Back, yeah.
So that's really hard on the cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you pass that barrier by saying, okay, have you paid the
pet deposit.
Yeah, pet deposit. If not, you know, do you need help with that? So that's where PASS comes along as well. PASS is the positive alternatives to shelter surrender, where I, you know, help families or individuals who truly want to keep their pet. I can suggest, you know, another nonprofit that helps with food or medical costs, or I can help them set up a GoFundMe, a fundraiser to help them with an emergency situation. So there's a lot of things we do just then, other than just shelter.
Cool.
So how many cats do you think that you have right now with foreclosure pets that can be adopted?
Well, actually, I just went on my first vacation since 2011 in September. So right before then, I tried to get everyone adopted, and I didn't take any new ones in. I actually only have three at my shelter right now, and one of them I got an inquiry for yesterday. But I will be getting five kittens next week from one of the fosters who she's going on vacation. We do about 50 cats a year is kind of how it runs.
Like you move 50 cats through to new homes?
We'll take in various, you know, take in a mom who's pregnant or who has five kittens. I have another set of six kittens that I might be getting. I don't know if the person's going to foster them or not. But that's going to be 11 kittens that I'll have in the next 2 weeks that... 3 or 4 weeks down the road, once we get them spayed and neutered, they'll be up for adoption. So it changes. You know, our slowest time of the year is generally January, February, but then, you know, March comes along and there's kitten season. But we also, we have a tendency to get the second set where people will call and say, I didn't know she could get pregnant while she was still nursing. Like, really?
Yeah, wow.
Let me explain this to you. And I understand that. I mean, a lot, some people just don't know
like they don't understand
how often. You know, and if the cat's going outside, she's, you know, going to play around.
Exactly. in the world.
So one of my busiest times a lot of times is October because I've gotten that second set of kittens as well. But right now, just because of my personal circumstances, I'm low. But typically, I can have, you know, 15 kittens. If I've got 4 rooms, I can have 4 moms.
Okay.
So with spaying and neutering, like for a kitten, you can spay and neuter a kitten... like not too long after they're born, right?
Well, yeah, they need to be at least a pound. I usually do 2 pounds, and it's basically I like them around 10 weeks. 10 to 12 weeks. But other than that, you know, it's actually when you talk to the vets, they'll tell you it's actually easier on the animal
when they do it when they're young.
It's not so hard of a recovery. But again, the cats have to be in good health to do that.
And then for a mother cat who's already, like, if she already has a litter of kittens, how long does somebody have to wait for spaying and neutering?
Well, I wait till she's done nursing, pretty much. At the 8 weeks of the kittens, I get them all spayed and neutered at the same time. Just because it seems, they don't always do this, but, you know, they're kind of getting tired of nursing. And once they have the surgery, they're a little less interested in it. I did have a cat this last year that we ended up having a C-section. And they spayed her right then, and she continued to nurse the entire time, which is fine, and it worked well. But, yeah, I kind of give her some, you know, it's hard to have kittens nursing when you've had major surgery. So I wait until the cats, you know, the kittens, once they're ready to not nurse so much, and once they start eating some dry or wet food, you know, and
they're start being eight to ten weeks
again at the age of the kittens.
Awesome. So somebody hears this podcast and decides, well, I really like foreclosure pets. I want to start giving to them through my paycheck. Well, can you tell us a little bit about what donations like that do for you guys? What do they do for your organization?
A lot. In one word, two words. So I would say 99% of our donations go to vet care. We have, you know, obviously a few costs like paying for our nonprofit license, registration, things like that. But almost all of it goes to vet care. So even though we do get the adoption fee, that's $100, that helps cover some of those vet costs. But I had two kittens this year that were very sick, and each one of them cost me $1,000.
Wow.
And I have a very small budget.
Which
I'd like to get more. But, so... the vet bills can be very high, especially if you get cats with upper respiratory. Again, if they've been left outside, they're going to have it. They're going to have fleas. They're going to have upper respiratory, and you need to get them, you know, all kinds of meds. We treat for worms. All that medication costs money. So the help that I get from Combined Fund Drive goes to that vet care. Food and litter, I pay for myself.
Oh, wow.
So, all, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the funds coming in Combined Fund Drive are so important. Awesome. I only have one major fundraiser a year. I work for a living, you know.
Yeah,
I'm busy between the cats and my job. So I do a garage sale the end of July, which is a huge garage sale, but it doesn't bring in near enough to keep us going for all year.
Yeah.
So without the monies from the Combined Fund Drive, you know, if we don't have the money, we can't spay and neuter.
Yeah.
And sometimes we help people just with spay and neuter as well. You know, a low-income colony or something that we can't necessarily adopt out will help with spay and neuter for that.
Yeah.
So that Combined Fund Drive money, again, is so important to us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I hope everybody heard that.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen up, people.
And it's very much appreciated.
Yeah.
I love this program that you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you. We're really glad. I mean, it's a program that State and Higher Ed folks should be very proud of. They've done some really incredible work.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you have essentially one event. So aside from that one event, really, do you have anything else you want people to kind of know about the event or how they can get in touch with you for adoption services, anything like that that you'd like to share?
You bet. So we're on petfinder.com as far as our cats go.
Okay.
Anytime we have cats listed, that's where they will be. We try and update it as regularly as we possibly can.
Okay.
We also have a website. It's foreclosurepetswa.org. That's not updated near as much as Pet Finder
is. Okay.
Foreclosure Pets, you can reach me through my email address at Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y, at foreclosurepetswa.org.
Awesome.
That's there. I'm on, you know, obviously the Combined Fund Drive site and the Secretary of State's as a 501c3.
Yep.
And occasionally we'll do other little fundraisers with restaurants that give you 20% and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we have a Facebook page, Foreclosure Pets, in Washington State. You can reach us through that, IMing or just posting. We post cats when we get a new one.
I've seen that page.
Yeah. And,
adorable pictures.
And sometimes if I can't house a cat, but somebody can house it for me while we're trying to help it get adopted, I'll post cats there.
Awesome.
And also dogs and other people, when I can't take them into the shelter, I will try and help everybody I possibly can through the Foreclosure Pets Facebook page.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Well, Darcy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking to us a little bit about Foreclosure Pets. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I appreciate you giving Foreclosure Pets the time.
Awesome. All right, so that was Darcy Eggman. She was the founder/everything for Foreclosure Pets. I thought it was pretty neat talking to her about really her personal passion. It seems like she kind of converted it into a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, really, absolutely. Well, I mean, can you imagine just like you're out doing your job and all of a sudden you come across a house with 40 pets in it that are just there and abandoned?
44, first of all,
what would you even do?
First of all, how do you have 40 cats?
That's quite a few cats.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I feel like that might be part of your problem with your home.
Yeah, if you're spending money on 40 cats.
40 cats. Yeah. That's
like, I can see, you know, there'd be an issue with, like, I don't have the money to get my cat spayed or neutered, but there are options.
Right. I mean, this idea, like, this, if somebody has like 5 cats, you're getting into
crazy cat lady territory. Is that what you're saying?
Cat lady.
Okay.
If you have 40, you are the cat lady
from The Simpsons.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You're the cat lady if you have 40. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, like, you see, probably, I would imagine, since it's a foreclosure and they just left those cats behind, they're not in the greatest of shape, and so you are compelled to kind of to do something.
Yeah, I could not even imagine what I would do if I walked onto a situation like that. Just like, I don't know. I don't even know.
Right.
Like, hands. I don't know what to do with my hands.
What are you supposed to do?
Exactly.
You know? Like, I would know what to do. So, kind of cool that she, and it's kind of the story of a lot of the charities we have in the program, that you can tell that some of these folks who started these It starts off with a personal passion.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do. And they're tired of just being frustrated.
Yeah.
And so they go out and they do something about
they
it.
They take
and
steps. And
I think
make
pretty.
Change.
I think that's pretty admirable.
Yeah.
That there are people out there who do that.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
So give me some of the upcoming events. We are still in National Preparedness Month.
Are you prepared?
I'm as prepared as you're going to get. You know.
I also liked the look on your face when you did that. Son, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something about being prepared. I was a Boy Scout.
Right
okay?
here.
Always be prepared, I think, is yeah. in there somewhere. Cub Scout.
So if I were to open the trunk of your car, I'll find like a preparedness kit if you were to break down?
No, currently.
Oh.
Well, yes, you would find that, but you would also currently find like boxes and boxes of toys that I'm supposed to be giving to the Goodwill.
Sure, sure. Okay.
So that's probably going to dominate my trunk.
Sure.
And then in the corner,
there's like flashlights in there.
Yeah, will be a tiny preparedness kit. It won't get me anywhere.
Okay.
But I got something.
But you're like, I might have a flashlight and maybe like a Gatorade.
Yeah. Yeah, flashlight and Gatorade. I'm prepared.
Hey, look at me. So basically, you need to get prepared. This
yes,
is the month to do
this
it.
This is the month to do it. And, I mean, if this month showed us anything with these natural disasters, preparedness is super huge.
Absolutely. Because you can't get prepared after a disaster strikes.
No, no. You're just reacting at that.
You're reacting. And then everyone else is reacting too, so mm-hmm. all of the supplies that are on the shelves,
yeah,
gone.
They're gone. On that note, one of the things I do want to say is we currently have, so this was one of those odd seasons where multiple natural disasters occurred at the same time.
Yeah.
And they were all fairly powerful.
Yeah.
So we have started a page. You can find it on our homepage. It's a disaster relief center. And basically what we did, in lieu of sending out a new disaster every single week or every single day.
Yeah, an email about it.
Right.
Yeah.
We ended up putting them all into this one section. And it's got Hurricane Irma, Harvey. It has two earthquakes that occurred in Mexico. The flooding from the monsoon that happened in India and uh-huh. Bangladesh. And we're starting to get some calls about Puerto Rico, so we'll do some digging into that to see if we can find any. And then the wildfire has been tough to nail down, so we don't have anybody yet for the wildfire.
Yeah, yeah, there aren't too many charities who are
out there. Really, really. I mean, they're probably busy.
Oh well, yeah, makes sense.
But so we haven't got anything on that. But check that out because it's going on right now. Two weeks ago, we did the Golf for Veterans tournament for Home for Our Troops. Pretty amazing. It raised almost $13,000.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's the most yet, too.
It's the most yet.
Yeah.
And it's the most yet. It almost doubled what they raised last year.
Perfect.
So, Home Shore Troops. So, it's a really, that was pretty cool. The other one that ended last week on September 23rd was the CFD, Run CFD Hero Run. It raised over $7,000.
Yeah, that's
for
also the biggest.
Backpacks. Also super cool.
Yeah.
We will be interviewing Homeless Backpacks.
Yeah.
To kind of review those two events, kind of talk about those a little
bit. Yeah, Homeless Backpacks and Salmon for Soldiers, who was a charity that actually golfed and came out at the golf tournament. So
super cool.
Yeah, it's nice to kind of put those two events together and get some of those charities and see, you know, how they like those events. Mm-hmm. And
you're not going to believe this, but next week is the first week to give. So giving is always open throughout. We have events obviously outside the campaign, but every single year we like to put the campaign right where, like, in a spot. It needs to have a beginning and end date.
Yeah.
So the beginning is October 2nd, which is next week, and it marks the first week to give, which is really one of our highest levels of activity all year.
Yeah.
Last year we had 800 people either put in time or put in a new pledge during that 1 week.
We did.
Super simple. You start giving to a charity for $5 a month or one time through your paycheck, or you up a current one, $5. Or you volunteer 1 hour at a charity that's in the CFT program during next week.
And remind me, how much is a volunteer hour worth currently?
$30 is what a charity saves. So basically, you will get a $5 Starbucks card for saving a charity $30.
Incredible.
So there you go.
Yep.
So that is next week. You get a $5 Starbucks card if you do any of those things.
Yeah.
It'll be on the website, ready, good to go. And then, we haven't ever hyped this up on this podcast because it's never been It's never been, I don't think we've hyped this, because it's never been this close.
It's right around the corner now.
Right around the corner, the 6th annual Masquerade Ball.
Oh, crikey, it's crazy. There's 6 years of that.
It is absolutely crazy. Yeah. There's 6 years of it. This thing has blown up.
Yeah.
It is insane now.
Is it off the hook? Is it lit? Is it fire?
I mean, it could be all of those things.
Well, since it blew up, I was like, oh, dog, what?
Yeah, this event is the Michael Jordan. Ha ha! I still got him in there. This event is the Michael Jordan of charity galas, folks.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think it's the Michael Jordan. It's the greatest of all time.
It's our Michael Jordan
event.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is our Michael Jordan.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's pretty cool.
I'm wondering which event is our Scottie Pippen.
Oh, wow. That is a great question. Which event is our Scottie Pippen? That would
think on it.
Yeah, that's good. I dig that. That's an excellent. That should have been your podcast question of the day.
Well, it could be.
Oh no, we're good.
Okay.
I mean, let me think about it.
So yeah, the Masquerade Ball is at the Capitol Building, 6 years in a row.
Yep.
It's fantastic. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. I mean, there's wine and beer and dancing and a casino night and an art gallery and a silent auction. I mean, there's all sorts of craziness happening right here at the Capitol. And it's basically adult prom mixed with Halloween.
Yeah.
It's a very cool experience.
And there's a whole floor full of charities.
Yeah. And all sorts of different charities, some of which have actually appeared on the podcast.
Yeah.
Will actually be there.
Which is nice.
So that's on October 21st, the evening of October 21st. And as always, remember that with any of these charities that appear on the podcast, you'll have the opportunity to give to them through your paycheck.
Yep.
And I think we're pretty good to go here.
I feel relaxed.
I feel good. So I want to thank everybody for listening to this week's podcast, and we'll see you later.
Have a good one.